or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, September the 4th, 1992. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Elwin and Mavis Lewis are the teachers of the morning, teaching on dysfunctional families.
You may not realize, and a lot of times if we're not geared into in a particular situation or have not had certain things in our life, the world just kind of passes by, and we do not look what is happening in the world. But we're having an epidemic in the United States of battered, abused children. And I'm not talking about abortion. I'm talking about born children that have been born into this world. And we are in an epidemic. Now, a lot of these children live and grown up to adults. And we work with hundreds of them today that are mentally, emotionally hurt, wounded. And they come to Jesus and we begin to deal with their spirit realm. But we never take care of their wounded hurt, their wounded heart, their brokenness. And so the church has told us for many years, and me myself as an example, has told us just to forget about the past and go on. So we have gone into denial, not taking care of unforgiveness, not taking care of rejection, not taking care of the hurt. And we have, many of us have become bitter root. And we'll be talking about the bitter root judgment in a few moments. You know, this subject is very difficult and hard to cover. You know, because I can go 10 hours and never get through covering the things that I know. It's not like just getting up and preaching, just getting up and taking a scripture and preach. I could do that and be through in a few minutes. But there's no ending in this. It just goes on and on and on. And every day I learn more new things. And like I said, I've been in this walk all of my life and have worked with battered, abused women, alcohol, drug-related, incest, molestation, for 15 years and tried to run from it because I was so burnt out and so hurt because we've never had a lot of help. I was bruised and hurt in the church and had nowhere to go. Yet I was in denial, and to look at me, you would think I had it all together. I was born again at 12 years old. My family was a non-Christian family. My mother was raised in church, but she was only a church member. And she did not get saved until 1974. And filled with the Spirit. But you see, I went through all of the facets of church. I taught Sunday school. I raised my children in church. I did all these things. And yet I had something, a void in my life. And it wasn't Jesus. It was my soulish race. My soulish man. You know, in Psalms 23:3, and we all know Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But in verse 3, he says, He restoreth my soul. We forget that, church. He has to restore our soul. When we get saved and come into the salvation of Jesus Christ, it is our spirit man that has got born again. Our hurts and our wounds are all the same. And we're just supposed to put a cover on it and go on and act like we're okay. And we get in denial and then we go into depression and nobody knows how to help us. The church does not know how to help us. I had to go outside of the church to get help and then bring it into the church to help others. And that's the message I have for you today. Let's reach out. This is the reason we have a sick church. This is the reason we have infirmities in our churches, because we have unfinished business that we have not taken care of. And we just, you can tell I get very, my emotions, I go with my emotions. I am an emotional person. And I cry when I need to cry, and I laugh when I need to laugh. But this thing has burst in my heart. And like I said, because of my burnout, because of my stress, because pastors wouldn't listen to me. And then when I married a pastor, I did support groups day and night, trained leaders, burnout leaders, because I worked constantly doing support groups, working with people in other churches. Didn't matter where they belonged. I just raked them in and just became burnout and stressed because I did not take care of my body. But I praise God today. It's coming to light. Everything that's hidden is coming to light. And it's coming to light. It's coming out. We can deal with it. We can handle it now. And you know, about when I started in this 15 years ago, there was nothing on the bookshelf. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, you had to dig everything out of the Bible. You had to depend on the Holy Spirit. And this is how I learned to move in the gifts. This is how I learned word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. This is how God brought me through and showed me. And everything I learned, I wanted to teach other people, taught by the Holy Spirit. But today, there are hundreds and hundreds of books on the market of self-help books. Dysfunctional, codependency, rejection, unforgiveness. They have 12-step programs. They have all kinds of workbooks. We have no excuse now. We have no excuse except laziness, okay? And I feel like part of our ministry is to go forth and to call people to do support groups. I believe in the 90s, our church to survive and make warriors, to have the army of God. We've got to take care of the unfinished business of the past. So to take care of that unfinished business of the past, we have to go on. Now, I just want to briefly bring to you, do you remember Peter, whenever he denied Christ 3 times? And I've had people say, well, we don't look back on the past. It's under the blood. We just go on. Well, I differ with you. I differ with you. Because you can't put unforgiveness and rejection under the blood and go on and act like it's not there. Because it's still there. And it will surface. You can repress it. But, honey, it will surface. And I find it surfaces about 35 to about 85 years old. Sometime in the 20s and the early 30s, it doesn't surface. But the older you get, the more God's going to clean and deal with your life. And I work with more people in their 50s and 60s that it began to surface. And stuff is still surfacing in my life. Occasionally, the Lord will show me something that I have to deal with immediately. And so I believe it is a constant going on, trying to bring our soul. You see, we're in a warfare with your own self. Your flesh and your spirit man. Your flesh hates for the Holy Ghost to be in charge. Your human spirit hates for the Holy Ghost to be in charge. So you're human. So you're warring inside of your body. The human spirit and the Holy Spirit and the flesh. Because the flesh wants to be in charge. Am I right? Am I speaking the truth? Okay. Well, Peter denied Christ 3 times. And all of you know that Christ hung on the cross. He stood by the fire, the coals of fire. And he denied Christ. Jesus told him, said, you'll deny me 3 times. And so Peter denied him. And then a while after Jesus had died and resurrected on the cross and he came back, he had appeared to the disciples 3 times. And that third time, there's only three places in the Word where, see if I can find my scriptures, three places in the Word where Peter denied, where the coals of fire are mentioned. And I've got that in my notes here somewhere. I'm getting way ahead of myself. So I will give you the John and Luke. And Jesus comes to, disciples are fishing. And they come off the boat and Jesus is cooking fish for them. And they come up and what does Peter see the first time he sees the coals of fire? And then Jesus asks Peter, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Second time Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. The third time Jesus asked him, Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. By this time he was angry. Why does he keep asking me if I love him? He knows I love him. I've already told him 2 other times. It was very essential that Peter look back. There was a flashback. There was a memory recall. A lot of times we begin to go back. Memory recall. Things, circumstances happen in our life, and it's a memory recall. In Numbers 12:59, Israel murmured and complained, and the Lord loosed the serpents, and they died. Many of them died. And what did he do? He raised the serpent up on the pole and said, look at the very thing that has hurt you. Look at the very thing that bit you, and you will be healed. So sometimes we have to look back on the very thing that has hurt you, deal with it before you can be healed. See, we can be delivered. Hey, I've been delivered of tons of things. You'll never stay delivered till your healing comes. You can be delivered, you can cast it out, and as long as the healing and the bitter root judgment and the hurts are still there, it's just an open door and it brings it right back in. Deliverance and healing of the emotions go hand in hand. You cannot separate them. You have to know the difference between. You have to have, that's where the gifts of the Spirit, God's given us the gifts of the Spirit, and we must learn to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. We must learn to walk in that. I have stated that so many times. But you see, let me give you an example of a girl that we have dealt with. We dealt with in our church. She now has, she died about a year ago or year and a half ago, I guess. But just to give you a little incident of how we deny, this young girl began to come to support groups. She would not open up, and I knew she had something vitally wrong with her. She was on drugs. She was on alcohol, claiming to be a Christian. She would not, and when we get into support groups, we talk about relationships. This is what this is all about. Father-mother relationship. She would not talk about relationships. She would not open up. She just kept saying, everything's okay. Anytime you ask a real extreme dysfunctional family, or many times, is how was your family life? It was okay. Oh, everything was fine. And then later you get to digging and talking about it. They've been abused. They've been molested. They've been an incest victim. That's denial. See? So they deny that they have anything wrong. And you do that so long, we believe a lie. And I'm touching some buttons this morning. I can see in my spirit. I'm touching some buttons. But this girl denied and denied. She said her and her father had a great relationship. We went on a retreat one time, and she came out in her father's pajamas. Her daddy had been dead for 2 or 3 years. She said they were her father's pajamas, and I thought, there is an ungodly soul tie here. There is something wrong. Now, I don't mean wearing your father's pajamas is always an ungodly soul tie, but in my spirit, I knew there was something wrong. Some of the girls began to question her, got her to open up, found out she was an incest victim. She still had an ungodly soul tie with her father, thinking that it was okay. We never got the girl off of tranquilizers. It's one of my traumatic cases that you work and you deal and you pour out your life. And I had many girls to pour out their life to this young woman. Her husband was on our board, our husband in our church. Her husband was very faithful, raised his kids in the church. And here we have a wife and a mother that's on alcohol and on drugs because she didn't want to be helped. And I'm telling you today, if you want to be helped, you will be helped. If you don't, you just go right on, and it won't necessarily keep you out of heaven. It may get you in heaven a little quicker. But God will let you die with it. I mean, He'll let you die with all this kind of stuff. But He's called us to live as overcomers, as victorious overcomers. He's called us to be ministers. He's called us to go forth and to set the captives free. Okay, I'm going to rush on here. I'm going to have to stick real close to my notes, because if I don't, I get off and I get started doing things that I'm not supposed to be doing at this time, because I have this so buried in my heart. But just let me give you some statistics real quick, and then we're going to move on in into the things that we've given you. In February 22nd, 1992, it was reported that 1 million children, and possibly those that have not been reported, 2.5 million physically sexually abused in the United States. And we are finding that the last, I'm not going to give that. Let me see here just a minute. I just want to get through some of these things. 43 million women in the United States have been sexually abused. Now, this is reported. They say half stays underground. It's never reported. The state of California is up to 50%. Molestation, people in prison, up to 50% of those that were either battered, abused, or incest victims are in prison. There was a percentage of high 63% of young men in prison between 11 years old and 19 have killed their mother. And see, we're dealing with a very violent, violent thing in America. A child is molested every 2 minutes in the United States. Do you know how to minister to a child that's been molested? Do you know how to minister to a teenager that's been molested? People, we've got to learn. It is time for us to learn. Now, we have thrown out psychology. We've thrown it out with the bathwater. for a long time they threw out Christianity. We have some, and it took me a long time. It took me 5 years working with this to receive this, because I totally threw psychology out. It had nothing to do with anything that God had. And God had to open my eyes. They've got some things that we need to use. We've got some things that work. And you, boy, you get into Scripture and get to digging. They've really got it from the Word of God. It's where they've really got it from. We've just been slow to catch on. So another thing, alcohol abuse is raging in America. Alcohol, drugs, for those of you that are pastors, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're not on the forefront of this, you just cannot begin to think of what's taking place. I began my healing in 1973. I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1973, and God began to deal mercifully with me. I told you last night I was raised in an alcoholic home. My father was an abuser. He didn't really abuse us children in a way that he would hit us. When he gave us a spanking, it would have been child abuse today. We would wear red, black, blue marks from the top of our buttocks all the way down to our ankles, and we were embarrassed to let anybody know. And I'm talking about 6 to 7 to 8 week bruise places. And we did not need a spanking but once a year, sometime not that often. We learned to walk in so much fear. We lived two lives. My mother became so codependent, and is this day still so codependent, I can just deal with her about 3 days. Yes, she loves the Lord with all of her heart. The church is sick. It is sick. And it's time for us to do something. God is crying upon people that will reach out. I served the Lord for many years and loved the Lord, and yet I was so bound. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord began to show me some things. And I thought I had forgiven everybody. Well, you know, when you get saved and you forgive, you ask the Lord for forgiving, you're asking God to forgive you. You're not asking other people to forgive you. It's not what they've done to you. It's what you've done to the Lord. That's what salvation's about. And then you have to deal with the unfinished business. My mother lived with me for 11 years. And during that 11 years, I knew how a husband felt and what husband would want to run away. I ended up being the husband and she was the mother. My mother was so bound and so programmed to my daddy's kingdom. She was never a person of her own. And once you're patterned, once you're programmed into this, it's hard to pull out. I mean, you can become a Christian, but hey, you're still isolated. I mean, the outside. The Lord says, I look at the heart and the inside. Hallelujah. We're gonna rush on. The first thing we're gonna talk about on your dysfunctional families, emotional healing. I'm gonna do the first one, and we're gonna work with dysfunctional. So if you'll open your paper to that. Those of you that are not familiar with dysfunctional means illness, means sick, diseased, difficult. A dysfunctional family is one that's not functioning because it is ill. It is not able to influence its children to maturity. Children leave home with an incomplete self. Now, there are extremes of dysfunctional family. I've worked with a lot of people that have been raised in Christian homes. I've worked with a lot of women. I don't work with a lot of men. My husband now has come into this ministry with me for many years. He was the pastor. He preached. And when I married him, I was already working with dysfunctional people, dysfunctional women. And that's what God has called me to do. When we work with men or families, it's because he is there with me. I work with women only. I do not work with men, okay? I've worked with children that were raised in pastors' homes that were more messed up than I was. Sad, sad situation. Had no relationship with their father. But some of the extreme dysfunctionals is of the abuse. Abuse can be verbal. It can be physical. It can be emotional. It can be sexual. It can be spiritual abuse. Do you know that there is a toxic spiritual abuse in the church? A religious spirit can kill our children. Never lead them to the Lord. I know many that were raised in church in a pastor's home that never got saved. because they were too busy saving the world. And I'm not knocking pastors, not knocking ministers. I'm just saying we all have blind spots. Doesn't matter if we're ministers, if we're lay people or who we are. We're all cut out of the same mold, so to speak, okay? Then there is an extreme dysfunctional people that go through all kinds of violence, neglect, trauma, occult. We work with a lot of people that were ritualistic abused. They were brought in it. I worked with a couple of girls. Some of them have come under witchcraft spells right in their Sunday school from their Sunday school teacher. Oh, yes, it happens. And it's hard to come out of those patterns. You know, Hitler said for many years, give me your children till they're 5 years old. They'll be a communist all their lives. Those first few years set the pattern of our life. And you may think you can walk away from it and it won't hurt you. Sometime or other, it's going to surface. And you're going to have to deal with it. You don't have to let it take your life. You don't have to be fearful of it. Jesus is with you. He walks you right through it. He'll show you how to overcome. He'll show you what to do step by step. And it's wonderful. You'll learn, then you can learn to reach out and help someone else that's hurting. This is the name of the game in Christianity. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. With what measure you give, it'll be given back to you. Right? Okay. All right. Now, in dysfunctional, in Proverbs 22:6, we all know that, and we have quoted that many times. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Verse 8 says, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Now, let me tell you, we've always looked at that. Train up a child in the way he should go in the admiration of the Lord. Train him up in the church. All right, look at it the bad way. You train up a child in a dysfunctional home, teach him to drink, teach him to curse. It says it right here, he'll not turn away from his way. See what I'm saying? Now let's look at that a different direction this morning. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Depends on how you train him up. Okay, then Proverbs 20:20 says, whoever curses his father and his mother, his lamp will be put deep darkness. That's why a lot of Christians' lights are not shining too bright. Because either they've cursed their mothers when they were children, they've never repented of it, or they're still doing it under their breath and never repented of it, and giving them the blame, you know? You know, we have to stop putting blame on other people. We need to learn to take our own blame, forgive those that have ridiculed and persecuted us. Jesus did. He set an example for you on the cross. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many of our parents did not know what they did? You see, my father was abusive, but his father came from a family with no love. There was a no-love-touch relationship. I don't remember if my grandparents on that side ever loving me. I have very bad memories of that situation. So that was what he was raised in. His mother's mother had died when she was a baby, and she had been in this home, in that home, in that home. See, go back and begin to look and see, and then it's easy for you to forgive. You see? Why did your parents act like they did? Why do you, or why have you acted like you did towards your children? And it goes back, breaking the curses of the generation curses. And so sometimes we do this, we've done this, I've done this so many times, and then sometimes the Lord will give me a specific thing that I have to do. And you have to call it out. It's just not sometimes an over-blanket thing. We just have to keep digging, keep prodding, keep going on, praising the Lord, using the Word. But many have cursed their parents, and they're living under a curse, and we need to break those curses. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2 says, honor your mother and your father. Now, it took me a long time to understand honoring my father and my mother. But let me tell you one thing with me. I had more resentment and anger against my mother than I did my daddy, and all my mother did was try to protect us. You know the reason I had resentment and hatred and anger to my mother? Because she never helped me and got me out of my situation. And a lot of times you will find that a child that is an incest victim from a stepfather or a father, they'll hate their mother more than they do the father that molested them, because their mother did nothing about it. And maybe their mother knew it and maybe she didn't, but that's a psychological makeup that we walk in. Now, the first time the Lord told me I had unforgiveness to my mother, I like to faint it. I was reading a book on unforgiveness, and I could not believe it. I fell to my knees and began to weep, and I said, "Why, God, do I have unforgiveness to my mother?" He said, "Because she never helped you and never got you out of the situation. In other words, she left you in it." And you know, I have a message for him. And then me living with my ex-husband that became an alcoholic and became abuser. And I've been in the hospital a lot of times with concussions. I fought. I never saw my mother fight. And I would fight. When he would hit me, I would hit back. I tell you, I learned to be a fighter. I'm not proud of that. But I had to survive. I learned survival as I grew up. And I said, and I turned that around for God, and I said, "I will make it. I will be an overcomer. I will be free, and I will teach others how to be free and how to release the bondage of the things that I have walked in." But you see, I gravitated to my dad because I was my dad's boy. I was the oldest of three children. And I gravitated to him because we lived on a farm and ranch, and I rode horses and worked in the field, run tractors and drove tractors and did everything that a boy should do. And I idolized my daddy. I learned to measure up. I became a perfectionist because I knew if I did it very well, I would please him. And some of you today know what I'm talking about. Some of you are sitting out there. You became that pleaser. You became, I measured up. A few years ago, about 6 years ago, I was working with Dr. Gross in June, and those that used to be with TTL, and they're out in California, and they work with dysfunctional families. And we were in a seminar, and they gave us a bataka. And a bataka is a rubber bat. It's a bat. It's got a rubber deal on the end of it. And, you know, every day you just think, well, I've taken care of everything, and I've dealt with everything. And so they put about five or six of us in a chair, in surrounding chairs, and they set a chair in the middle and gave us a bataka. And they said, "Now, we want you to deal with the anger that's on the inside of you." And I thought, well, I've been dealing with that all my life. You know, there's a lot of things that I probably could do. And so one person got up and began to hit that and began to go through some things and began to, "Lord, you'll have to show me something because I sure don't know anything, you know." And I took that thing and I hit that the first time and I could not believe something happened. I said, "Daddy, I no longer have to measure up." And my daddy's been dead for many years. Deep down, it's deep down in there, and we don't even realize that it's deep down in there. But the Holy Ghost can show you the hidden things in your life. And I'm very transparent when I teach this. I just open it all up because I know it's going to help someone. The leading of the Lord. Okay? I'm going to, my husband's going to do the next one, which is emotional healing.
Would you just pray with me right now? I feel the Holy Spirit stealing right now. Core yambaria si madrid si ombre tadeniso. Father, you know our hearts. You know everything that's in our hearts. You know the things that have been taken care of and the things that have not been taken care of. And Lord, there are many here today that have come to this meeting for the purpose of the Holy Spirit searching their heart, searching the inner heart. For the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and he searches the inner part of man. That means his soulish nature. For out of the Spirit cometh the answer. For the Spirit of God is in us. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell. The Holy Spirit is there. By the commission of God the Father, he is there. Amen. And he searches our heart. Hallelujah. Kora matisi andro kofandre karenine. Lord, I call you now to rise up big in those that are sitting here out of their spirit. Begin to search their heart. Search their mind, their will, their emotions. Search them, Lord. Search them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And reveal now in the name of Jesus. I call it to revelation now.
Yes, Lord.
I call it to surface. I call it to manifest.
Hallelujah.
In them, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As we minister to them right now, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're going to minister. I feel that at later date, if there's time, we'll do some more teaching. There's a lot of teaching that needs to be done for understanding. But when the Holy Spirit moves, you got to move with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You don't move with the Holy Spirit, then you die. Amen? It's dead in the water. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sondala
Makaya Savior. Hey, I feel like that there is someone here that you are, you're carrying resentment against your mate. And you think it's because he's not serving the Lord or because he's not a Christian. And that's not the problem. The problem is hurts and wounds in your own life. And once you handle those and you begin to take care of those, your husband will fall in line. I believe it's a woman. I say husband. I believe it's a woman. And you put up a wall there. There's a wall of relationship that you cannot reach out because there is something in your past that you will not let a right relationship mate, and you become very cold, serving the Lord, but very cold. I just want you to think about that. Maybe more than one when I call this out. Some of you here are angry, and I believe you're angry at your mother, like I was. It's like I said, well, when I was talking about it, it triggered something inside of you. I'm going to call out several things, and I want to have all of you stand to your feet. You've hurt, and you've gone to somebody you've hurt. You've gone to a church leader or gone to church, somebody in your church, and they've just told you to get in the Word and read more, and they've not done anything to help you. There's two or three of you like that. You've been searching, you're looking, you're longing for somebody to understand. This is why we encourage people to get in support groups, because there's somebody there that can relate to you. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe more than one. You're an incest victim, and you kept it in secret, family secret, all of these years. God needs you to take care of some of them. There's some people here that you were raised in an alcoholic home. You just thought it was a way of life, and you need to do some unfinished business. You need to forgive. You need to break the generation curse off of you, because you know those things can skip a generation, two generations, and go to the third or fourth generation, and you'll be alcoholic. Some of you have had divorce. It's like in my family. I had to break a curse of divorce, curse of alcoholism in my family. Hallelujah. Those things that I've called out, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hurriedly, God's moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name
just
of Jesus.
Keep standing because the Holy Spirit is dealing. The Holy Spirit is dealing right now, and we're just going to take time for the Holy Spirit.
Just let the Holy Spirit move now.
You there standing, just remain standing. Others are pondering in their heart. This is not easy to do.
Oh, hallelujah.
Because you've sought to cover it up. You've sought to push it back in the resources of your mind, recesses of your mind. You've said it's all done and over with.
Hallelujah.
But there's still a gnawing in the down deep, and you don't know how to answer. What is it? What is it that's causing this? I've accepted Jesus. I've said the sinner's prayer. I live for the Lord. I love Him with all my heart, but there's something right down here. Now, this is the Holy Spirit, and we're going to give time for the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance something that you need to deal with right now in the name of Jesus.
Someone is a pleaser. You just please. You want to say no, but you always say yes to people, to please people. You do all kinds of things to please people. Stand to your feet. Some people here that are codependent. Codependent means that you're addicted to people. Things can be drugs and alcohol, but doesn't necessarily have to be. Codependent is when you are...
that you covet.
You covet. You desire. You have a compulsion to make things right. You want to fix things that don't work your way. Hallelujah.
And control.
Goes with controlling. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, so to patapaya,
Jesus, you know the
one day I
thought
that. Hallelujah.
Do your work.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. feel like the Holy Spirit is saying now, there are those that you want other people to change, but you don't want to change because change is painful. Habits are easy, and we get in our habits, and we walk in that, and you don't want to change. But God's been wanting you to change some things in your pattern, in your makeup. You have a desire to mature and go on. Someone here, you have a desire to mature and go on and to move in the gift, and you pray for the gift, but things are just not happening, and the Lord says you're bound from the emotional hurts of the past. If you'll begin to release those things and come out of denial and begin to speak the truth and seek the truth, the Lord says He's going to set you free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's going to set you free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This matter of change is very important. We get in a rut, and we don't want to get out of our pattern of living.
Hallelujah.
We've set our course,
thank you, Lord.
And nothing's going to disturb that course. But God wants to get you out of
Hallelujah.
Your rigidness.
Hallelujah.
God wants
thank
to get you
Lord.
Out of your
thank
rut.
You.
God wants to get you
thank
into
you,
a path of freedom and deliverance. He wants to get you in a
thank
place
you,
where you can be free to praise Him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
be
you,
free
Jesus.
To live. Like you always wanted to live, but it seemed that everything's
Hallelujah.
Pressing in on you and you can't seem to get loose from it. The Lord is here today
Thank
to
you,
get you out of that rut. If you're willing to change, if you're willing
Hallelujah.
To say, Lord, I'll do anything, go anywhere, change my way of style of living, do anything that it will take to bring me into the freedom. God wants to bring
Hallelujah.
You into greener pastures.
Glory to God.
He's
Hallelujah.
Got greater things for you than you can even imagine. He's got greater things than you are even capable of thinking about. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He says, those that are blessed of the Lord shall be rich. And that don't mean with just money in your pocket. That word rich is asher in the Hebrew. That word rich means to be happy. It means to be joyous. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 It means
Thank
to
you,
come
Lord.
Out of bondage into the glorious, wonderful
oh,
atmosphere
Hallelujah.
Of the
yes,
presence
yes,
of
yes.
an eternal God. Amen. And that's where God wants to bring you out of the rut so you can run. Hallelujah. You'll run and not be weary. Hallelujah.
That's right.
That's where God
Hallelujah.
Wants to bring you.
Hallelujah.
There's some of you still sitting. You think, there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I don't have any of that kind of background. You see, I was raised in a pastor's home. I was raised in an atmosphere that many people would call perfect. I had a good father, a good mother, as far as the norms of today are concerned and the standards of today. But I know that I have dysfunctional things in my life that need to be taken care of because I had to measure up. I had to be almost perfect, you know. I had to be almost perfect, you know. I was the pastor's son. I had to follow in the ways that would not bring reproach upon the ministry. And sometimes that puts a young child into a rigid and straitjacket type of situation where you're not that have that freedom that you need, and you're pushed into achievement. And many, many children today have been pushed into achievement. They have achieved, yes. They have seen their lives mature in many ways, but their emotions are not what they ought to be because they have been had to live under that kind of pressure to measure up continually. Now, if there's someone like that, you've had to measure up, and it's put you under tension. It's put you under stress and strain today that you really don't know how to respond. If you're in that condition, will you stand, join these others?
There's someone here and you're under tremendous stress. And the stress goes back to your childhood. You're under tremendous stress. Your nerve endings are frayed. Come on, there's some more of you. Your nerve endings are frayed. You're stressed out. You don't understand. And the Lord just spoke to me just that there's some of you are under extreme stress because of them. You had to measure up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I ask you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Holy God. Oh, God, you called us to be victorious. You called us to be overcomers. I thank you, Father, for hovering over these people. Touch every person. Lord, right now I speak the truth. The truth will set them free. Father, you said if we would call upon the truth, know the truth, walk in the truth, that the truth would set us free. Now, I thank you, Father, that the truth is going to begin to bring forth those hidden things in their life that they need to deal with. And, Lord, these people that are standing that have unfinished business, before this weekend is over, Lord, they're going to be set free in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, Father, for the power of the living God, for the anointing breaks the yoke. I thank you, Lord, for breaks the yoke. Now, right now, I ask you, oh, gracious, precious Holy Spirit, come up over this body. Your body, Lord, that is hurt. Your body that weeps on the inside, but yet we look like we're okay on the outside. They're in denial that stand here, those that have been in the thing of blame. Father, may we take our responsibility, the responsibility that we are to take, and walk in that. Lord, may we face the circumstances and walk through it. Hallelujah. Now I want you to just say with me, Father God,
Father God,
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me
for being in denial.
For being in denial.
And not facing the truth. And to playing hiding, and Lord, I say, Lord, I thank you that you're setting me free.
You're setting me free.
I forgive my parents.
I
forgive all others that have wronged me, that caused me to measure up, and be people pleasers. Lord, I forgive that person in the ministry that caused me to go in denial. Because, Lord, they did not know what they were saying. Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I thank you that this weekend it's a new adventure for me. You're going to show me things, and I thank you ahead of time that I can be free. When I leave this place, I'm going to be on a journey of recovery. The Holy Ghost inside of me is my teacher. You are my guide.
You are my comforter.
I will face my problems.
I will recover.
Then I will progress and go forward with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you may be seated. I really feel this opens something for you to begin to receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You know, these things that have been weighing on your life for many years are the open doors for the strongholds of Satan. And they're the avenues whereby Satan comes in. He sees these things, your unforgiveness, your hurts, things that you've undergone in your life. And he sees your helplessness to respond to them because of the lack of knowledge. See, God's people perish for the lack of knowledge. They are destroyed, the Scripture says, for the lack of knowledge. And therefore, because of the lack of knowledge, are becoming a haven for the different demonic forces that come in. And that's the reason that you not only need healing, you need deliverance. Deliverance and healing go hand in hand. They're companions. And when you go through the sessions this afternoon, you'll want to have the Holy Spirit under the direction, the leadership of the Millers. We encourage you to again search your heart, and if there's any strongholds there, you will be delivered of them. But it's just like when you're wounded, you have you cut your hand, you may be delivered from the instrument that cut your hand, but you need healing. Now, healing comes by two means: instantaneous healing and progressive healing. But most of the healing that's done is a progressive healing. It comes by your learning to adjust to the new situations, and after you've come into knowledge of the things that cause these things, then you take and begin to set your house in order and begin to come against the intrusion of the enemy. We all know that when the devil is cast out, he comes back again. He'll come back again and come back again. But if your house is healed, if you're good stewards of your spirit, soul, and body, if you're good spirit stewards and you're taken care of, the devil can't come back in. Amen. But if you're not, he can take another stronghold in your life. I'd like to talk just a few minutes about emotional healing. Did you have something else? Uh-huh. Emotional healing. On your sheet, we give you a definition. Healing is making well or whole that is ill and dysfunctional. So emotional healing is the process of overcoming the wounds that are caused by hurts, abuses, and rejections, which produce bitterness, resentment, anger, and many other dysfunctional responses in the emotional nature. There are four kinds of healing. Many times we think of just the two, spiritual healing and... But I believe God wants us to separate that and divide that into even a greater measure, even as he said in Hebrews 4 that the word of God divides and it discerns and it separates. God comes in, and as we understand the healing process of the Lord, we'll find that there are actually four different areas of healing, spiritual healing. Of course, the deliverance is done there. You're born again when you come to Christ and you come into a new relationship with God and your life is made alive in Christ Jesus. And then there's spiritual healing. That's in your spirit, man, as Mavis said a while ago. Then there's physical healing. And we thank God. Many of you could stand today and give a powerful testimony of how God has healed your body, amen, from cancer or from other things, or performed a miracle in your body, broken bones being healed, or whatever God has done for you. And we thank God for the physical aspects of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Amen. And many of you will be healed in these meetings physically. Then there is mental healing as well, the mind. People who need to be restored in the mind. And much, the Scripture says much about the renewing of our mind. And that's a progressive thing that happens to us. Then the fourth is that emotional healing that we've been talking about here this morning. Emotional healing. Let me make a statement. He can be born again. He can be healthy in his body and intellectually strong. He can be saved. He can be filled with the Holy Spirit. He can be heal, living in divine health, and he can be a man that is, or a woman that is able to respond intellectually, but he can be emotionally set. And I believe that's the problem that we have with many ministers today that are being exposed in our body, in the body of Christ. These men, I believe, are saved. These men, many of them have strong, healthy bodies. But because of emotional hurts in their past. And we could name several of them and give you illustration, but you already know about these men. They've been exposed to the world. And they have made their confessions of their childhood and their upbringing and their hurts and their incest.
Right.
All of these things.
Right.
So you can be there sitting today completely healed in these areas of salvation. And in the body and in the mind. But you can have these emotional hurts. And we could play checkers with that. There's people who are pretty well emotionally healed and physically, but maybe their spirit life is not what it used to be or what it should be. And so you can go from all kinds of angles. But God has given us emotions to protect our lives from the destructive forces around us. You see, we have been given in the physical body, we've been giving our nerve system, our feelings. A child will learn by venturing out into certain areas to know that that's a forbidden area. If a child reaches out and touches a hot stove, he'll soon find out that hurts, that burns, you know. So the same thing, the reason God has given us emotions is that we might be able to know the forbidden areas of which we are to live. We then become sensitive to those things that we know that are not good for our spiritual lives, and we stay away from those things. We are warned. As we go through the experiences of life, we are trained in our emotions as well as in our physical body that certain things are not for us to become involved with. God created our physical bodies with a system that eliminates toxic waste in order to maintain health. We know it's important that we maintain the elimination of our body. So it is in our emotional nature as well. We've got to know how to eliminate these things that become a toxic nature and toxic shame, toxic expressions in our emotions. We've got to learn how to work with the Holy Spirit, enabling us to cleanse our emotions daily. Every day we come across experiences that add toxic things to our emotions. See, Jesus said offenses will come. Offenses will come. You might as well face it. Even though you get rid of everything that's in the past of your life today, as long as you're living, you're still going to come into confrontation with the world and with your family, and there's going to be hurts and offenses continually. But once you learn how to deal with those offenses, then you can keep your emotions clean.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And you can be healthy and strong. Hallelujah.
Right. Amen.
See, over the years, emotions can become overloaded with all kinds of dysfunctional experiences. When this happens, we begin to unravel at the seams and come apart. And this is why many people are unable to cope with life and deal with life and its problems, because they have let these things build up. You know what happens when we do not eliminate for our physical body? They build up. These things build up, and it throws all of this toxic poison into your body. And it happens the same way in the emotion. When you let it remain and you don't clear it out, you don't get forgiveness. As soon as offenses come, you need to deal with them in the name of Jesus. As soon as you have an experience that causes you hurt, you need to deal with it at that moment so it won't become a buildup to bring nervous disorder. You know, being blessed is one of the greatest things that God has given to us. He has made us creatures to be blessed. God wants to bless. Amen. You see, growing up, a child needs to be blessed. If he's always hearing negative things, if he's always being put down, if he's always saying, you're no good, if he hears continually that he can't do it, it's going to bring him down, and that's the reason a lot of hurts and emotional problems exist in our adult life, is because we never were blessed when we were children. And someone has said there needs to be 10 blessings to every negative in our life in order to overcome the negative. And therefore, God has provided blessings. Throughout the Word of God, God says, I want to bless you. I want to edify you. I want to build you up. That's the reason He gave us the gift, in order that He might edify the church and edify us as individuals and build us up, because He knows we need that blessing. We need that encouragement. We need people talking good things about us. Amen. We need people to come in and fellowship with us. That's the reason we come together as a body of Christ. And He said, do not forsake the assemblings of yourselves together, as some do, because they're coming together is for the purpose of edifying one another and building one another up and blessing one another. You come to this camp in order that we might come and be blessed of those whom God is blessing with revelation, those that God is blessing with the gifts of the Spirit. They manifest in this body here, right here, and you go away blessed. The Millers have sacrificed that in this camp and built this camp under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that people may come in and be blessed. Hallelujah. The Lord don't give curses. He gives blessings. Amen. The curses come from the devil, and we need to recognize that there's a curse in our lives. We need to get rid of it because God has given us, hallelujah, the avenue where we can be delivered and healed from these things. Amen.
Right, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, our emotions become imprinted by the traumas that have come to us by our parents and others who have influenced our lives. So we become like a tape recorder. The beautiful music that comes, and the background music that comes out of these machines is recorded on a tape, and it blesses us, you know. And we thank the Lord for the instruments that have been discovered to bless us. But our lives is just like that. We are like a tape that is recorded. Everything that goes into our life is recorded there. And we need to reprogram the tape. And that's what we're here to do today, is to help you to reprogram the tapes of your life and get rid of all that garbage. There's a lot of trash on tapes today. In the music world, Satan has thought to make his imprint upon the lives of the people, on the lives of our society, and the life of our nation. The devil has come to imprint upon us these things that are destroying our lives and our nation today. But we as the Church of Jesus Christ need to rise up and erase the tape. Amen.
Yes, yes,
get rid of these things in our nation.
Hallelujah.
Get rid of these things in our home. Get rid of these things in the church. And come forth with a new program.
Right.
Hallelujah on the tape. Hallelujah. And I challenge you this morning. You can do it. Amen. For God is able to do all things. Hallelujah. He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm going to go on to the bonding. Bonding is a relationship or an attachment made between two persons, two or more persons, in which all parts of the soul, feelings, thoughts, values, beliefs, joys, sorrows are shared. It is an emotional and intellectual investment that have been made to each other. It is at this point that someone can say, I matter to someone. Bonding is very, very important. We have learned in counseling the last several years that a person that does not receive bonding in their home, and that means bonding is two people with emotional and intellectual investment towards each other. Bonding with someone, you're going to invest your life. And it's two people. One person can try to bond to another, and if that person does not bond back, it's a one-way street. And that's the way it's been in some of our families. But a child needs to be brought up in such a relationship that they can be open to express their feelings. They can share joys together. They can share sorrows together. Not be isolated and closed-mouthed. And children are to be seen and not heard. And those type of attitudes and negative forces to them. So family bonding is very, very important. I have a great bonding and attachment to my daughter. We're very, very, very close. And I'm sure some of you could tell me the same thing. And then there may be a child in your life that you cannot bond with. There is something there that you just, there is a wall between you and them. And so we have to have the knowledge of the Lord to know how to pull that wall down, to reach out and touch those that isolate themselves. And so no bonding at all caused emotional withdrawal. And, you know, we go back, and as we go back into some of these people's lives and we talk to them, we find out that they had a loving, caring father. But the father was too busy making a living. The father was too busy evangelizing and forgot about the children. I mean, when he came in, he was tired and he had to think about the next trip he was going. And so there was no bonding in those areas. You see, models. We have to have a model. Our parents have to be models. And what is model? We watch them and we do as they do. Okay. You're up next. Caught him off guard, didn't I?
Praise the Lord. I was going along with identifying the needs of our life are to be able to know symptoms, the manifestation or fruit of a deep-rooted dysfunctional problem, such as aggressive attitudes and behavior. You know, people who every time you look at them, they snap back. There's a reason for that. Aggressive and behavior. Stubbornness, rebellion, low self-esteem, fear. Now, fear can be a root, and it also can be a symptom. And depression and hopelessness, all of these things are the symptoms of a deep-rooted problem. One of the most vital needs, she was talking about relationship. Man has a deep need for relationship. God created Adam and Eve because he wanted relationship. And he created Eve for Adam because he knew that it was not good for man to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. We need to develop relationships. Intimate relationship. Jesus, the first thing he did in his ministry, began to develop relationships. He brought forth several levels of that relationship. He had a relationship with the multitude. He had a relationship with the ones that followed him, a lesser group. And then he had a relationship with the 12, which was another group. And then he had the relationship with the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And that was the intimate relationship. So all of us have levels of relationship. There's a little story about a little girl, Christian family, and at night she was continually hearing things room in her bedroom. And she cried out to her mother, "Mother, mother, there's something here. Somebody's in my room." And the mother, being a Christian mother, responded, saying, "Well, Jesus is there. Just will be a companion to you, and just call on Jesus. Jesus has provided for you a guardian angel, so you don't have to be afraid." She says, "Yes, Mother, but I need someone with skin on." And so many times we move into the relationship with the Holy Spirit and with the Father and the Son, and that's great, and we know that He does have sends His angels and give them a charge over us, and they are encamping around about us. All of that's great, and we love it, but we need people around us with skin on, amen, who can divulge our needs, and they can divulge their needs, for the Bible says we are to bear one another's burden and become concerned with one another. And so I'm glad for the relationship that God has provided for us. Now, a symptom is a red, so to speak, signaling that something has gone wrong in our life. It's just like the fever that's in our natural body. That fever tells us that there is infection in our body. It's an outward manifestation. It's a symptom of something that's really root cause. And then we begin to look for that. If we get a fever, then we know that we need to not just take an aspirin for it, or pray about it. I don't know if that's a good word around here, aspirin or not. But anyway, we do something that we can about it. Anyway, I think the first thing we need to do is pray, amen. And we begin to see, well, what is causing this? So when these symptoms begin to surface in our lives, we need, in our emotional life, we need to begin to look, what is causing this? What is causing my anger? What is causing my fear? What is causing this aggressive response? What is causing these things that are tearing down my relationships with people? You see, marriage is the most relationship outside of God's relationship with us. Marriage is the most vital. And so many times marriages are on the rocks is because of these manifestations. And if we can find the root causes through these manifestations, knowing that there's something wrong, then we can heal the marriage. We can get rid of the hurts and the things that are oppressing us. So there are four different manifestations, or we might call them areas of our personality that developed as a result of our emotional being. I'm not going to go into these because they're really technical. But there are four of them, and Theo Johnson, associate pastor up in Gresham, Oregon, has developed a support group ministry and follow-up with his books. And he gives these four. One is a hero. One is the rebel. Number three is the mascot. And number four is the placator. A hero is one who is able to carry the burden of a family. Have you ever seen an older child or a member of the family whom everybody just looks to, and they seem to take up the responsibilities of the family, and many times even when they're young, they take these responsibilities when they're too young, and it develops emotional problems that way. That's what we call a hero, someone that everybody looks to. And working parents today will depend upon this one child to see that the household is taken care of. A young lady, a daughter, will sometimes have to do all the house cleaning and make all the meals and do all the things that are naturally that the mother should have done. But because she's out working somewhere, the mother depends upon this child and puts too much responsibility on that child at an early age, and the emotional problem in years to come, and it affects the marriage of that daughter in years to come.
Ask them how many heroes. How many can identify with a hero? Raise
okay.
your hand.
Then there's the rebel. That is the one who leaves home early. That is the one that gets out into the world and doesn't have the skills to deal with the problems of life. Runaway children today. We have a lot of runaway children in our society. And these are called rebels. And they go out and they find others who are rebels. And they get together and they do all their mischief. And they get into drugs and into problems and into trouble. And so they don't know how to fit in. They are insecure in knowing how to have relationships. In Job 24:13, it says, "There are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways nor able to walk in its path." And this is what our teenagers, a lot of them today that are out there, that are away from home and the influence of the home. They rebel because of the dysfunction of the home, but they're thrust out into society, and they develop this rebellion, and they get in all kinds of trouble. And Psalms 68:6 says, "God sets the solitary in family. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land." See, God has established the family in order to protect the rebellious from the onslaughts of the world and of the devil. And if they get out from under the influence too soon, then they are destroyed by the forces and the lack of knowledge that they have to deal with life's situation. Isaiah 30:1-3 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who takes counsel, but does not of me. The rebellious take counsel, but not of me," he says, "and who devise plans that are not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, to walk, to go down to Egypt, and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh." Pharaoh is a type of Satan. "And to trust in the shadows of Egypt," the world. "Therefore the strength of Pharaoh," the devil, "shall be your shame, and trust of Egypt shall be your humiliation." That's a powerful scripture. It describes exactly what happens to that child who runs away from home. Amen. Then there's the mascot. The mascot is one who is the clown of the family, and he tries to keep peace on everything, and he tries to avoid any kind of strife. He's kind of a carefree person, but he lives in denial. He is that coach. And he tries to guard against any rocking of the boat, so to speak, and causing strife. And usually this mascot nature is a giver. in order to receive attention, he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. And then the last one is, he is the passive one. He becomes whatever people want him to be. Are you identifying? And if you're not falling into one of these, you might know somebody that falls into one of them. Okay, he's a people pleaser. He does that ways. He's kind of like a wallflower that always in the background. If you've seen these kids when you were growing up and in school, that they never really came up. They never volunteered to do much. They were just kind of a wallflower. They were just there. And that's the kind.
Or maybe in your grandchildren.
Right. He lets others make his decisions for him. He feels powerless and helpless to make things happen. And he usually marries a person who will continue. He'll marry a wife that will take care of him, you know, or vice versa. A woman will marry a man that will take care of her. And so he never grows up. He has a childish mentality, and he only does what he's told to do. Amen. These are some of the things that are manifesting in the lives of people, and you fall into one of these types. Amen.
Okay.
Praise God. Now, we don't want to get bogged down here.
Hey, I'm going
to... Are you tired?
You want to take a little break, a second? Stand up a minute?
Stand up.
Okay. I'm shaking your head no. Okay, let's go to the root cause. If you do need to stand up, just stand up for a minute. Stand up for a minute. I just wanted to give you this little example to help you. He's been talking about the symptoms, and this goes right along with the symptoms. A root is something that's hidden. A root can be bad or it can be good. Anything that grows has a root. Regardless if it's good or bad, there is a root there, and it's hidden. And the fruit comes from the root, okay? And if it's, and we know in the Word, it tells us about the good fruit in Matthew 7:17-18. It says Jesus, well, he gives us the principle of roots and fruits there. It says every good tree bearing good fruit, every bad tree bearing bad fruit. And so we can see that. So sometimes we have to go back to the root. The fruit of a person can show the root, okay? And so sometimes we have to go down and dig up a root. Now, those of you that do yard work, you know if you just cut a tree off on top of the ground or a bush, it'll come back out many times. You have to go to the root. So it's the same sometimes in deliverance, sometimes in healing, physical healing. We just get the surface. We get healed, but then there's a root there that's going to cause that sickness to break out into some other kind of sickness or something else. And that's why we don't stay whole. We have to go to the root. So this is what we're laying a foundation today for you to be able to go to the root. Now, let me give you an example. A few months ago, we had a hard blowing rain. We live in Hemet, California, and we had a little storm come through. And I just felt in the middle of the night to get up and walk into our den, and our den is an add-on room. And when I did, I could see that we had a leak. Well, we had never had a house leak. We have a tile roof, and but this little add-on is a thing, so my carpet was getting wet. So I grabbed a bucket to put under this dripping rain till the rain would stop. Now, the root, and now what was the fruit that was showing? The root was the leaky roof, but the fruit was the rain and the stain on the ceiling that was coming through. That was the fruit. Now, I had a choice. I could have just said, well, every time it rains, I'll just put a bucket under this to catch the water so my carpet won't get wet, okay? Or I could choose to go to the root and get up on that roof and fix that seam from inside and out, and it wouldn't leak anymore. And that's what we're talking about the root and the symptom. If we don't get to the bottom of the situation, I get rid of one problem, but you will have problems after problems after problems until you get to the root. You see, there are many manifestations. Those of you that know that have said anything about alcoholics or drug addicts, that is a spirit of bondage. A spirit of bondage can have many manifestations. It may manifest, spirit of bondage can run through a family. You may go for two or three generations, you won't have an alcoholic. You may have a sexaholic. You may have a foodaholic. But there are many manifestations, but there's usually one root off. So we have to go down and get the root of something that's hidden that will cause a lot of pain. Okay, and a lot of times we want to block out the things that are hidden. Okay, you're next. I'm just cutting these a little bit sharp so we can go on.
How many getting hungry? Amen. So that's good. That's a good manifestation. All right, coping mechanisms. You know, we have the symptoms, and then we have the root causes, but we have these coping mechanisms. They're defense mechanisms that we use to cover up our problems. And so they are devices to be able to deal with his or her emotional problems. They're both good and bad coping mechanisms. Some of these, the ones that may be bad, are isolation, detachment. Now, this word detachment is a very popular word today among those that are counselors, because we are seeing surface in our society a lot of multi-personality problems. And we go into that and we study that, we will find that most of that problem is caused by people. They literally detach their whole being, and they try to forget it, or they don't even remember it. You can go through and counsel with someone who has been an incest victim, and if it has been a kind of a traumatical experience, they will not remember that. There's some people cannot remember certain things, age 3 up to 10 or 12 years old. They have forgotten. Although they went through all that trauma and all of that abuse, they don't remember it because they have used this coping mechanism. In fact, God has given us and built that into us that when we come to a certain level of emotional strain, that there's that coping mechanism that comes into being. Just like in an electrical system, you have the breakers. If it gets too strong, well, it'll throw that breaker in order to turn it off so it won't do any more damage. So there's in the subconsciousness of man, God has created these coping mechanisms that some of them, as we said, were good, but most of the time they are used to cover up. So that word detachment, that's what it refers to.
You have anything to say in that?
They devaluate themselves. The coping mechanism is devaluation or talking excessively. Anybody talks excessively? It's usually to cover up some problem. It's a coping mechanism that they have. And controlling spirit. Religion can be a coping mechanism. You see, the woman at the well, when Jesus talked to her about spiritual things, automatically she went into this gear of religious things. You know, she says, I perceive that you're a prophet, Samaritans say you got to worship here, and you Jews say you got to worship down here at Jerusalem. But Jesus took care of that real quick. He says there's coming a day when you neither worship there or there. You're going to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Jesus always had an answer. Amen. And Jesus got an answer for your coping mechanism today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then denial, which Mavis has talked about, shifting the blame, putting it on someone else, substance abuse and addiction. That's one of the major ones that people cope with their problems by going into drugs or drinking or try to bury these that are within them. There's a lot of other things that are involved in that that I won't go into this morning, but you need to be conscious of the fact that some of these symptoms turn into coping mechanisms so that we'll be able to be able to face the problems that we have.
Okay, and the next one follows up with his. Some of these just kind of tag-tail along together. Repressed emotions. This is holding things inside until you have no feeling at all. And this is a form of a coping mechanism. Now, I was there. I have been there where I didn't have any feelings, and I had repressed, and we call them that you just press and repress, and demon, like nothing is wrong with you, like nothing has happened. I mean, I put my family situation so far behind because I had never, I was to the point where there was never ever trusting man, because the two people I most trusted in my life had disappointed me and had wronged me. Let's talk about just a moment, and then we're going to close with this one, and then we'll at another time with the, I just believe you, your head can endure about as much as your bottom can stand, right? Memory recall, let's look at the story of Joseph for just a moment. Remember the story of Joseph, how Joseph was sold, was put in a well, and then he was sold and went away from his family. Chapters 37 through 50 tells us the beautiful story of how the repressed memory. He had repressed memory. Joseph had put it so far back. Joseph had gone into Egypt, and you know all the story of Joseph, and we're not going to go into that, but the power of repression, memory. And so when his brothers came to Joseph, symbolically, Joseph began to see, and don't you know that when he saw his brothers, the flashback and the memory recall went back to the well and him being sold to the Egyptians. And then remember in the story that Joseph allowed one of his brothers, to remain in jail until they went back. And remember how he hid the money in the pouch and how he hid the cup in the pouch as they were leaving. And he brought one of them and he schemed that so he could bring one of them into jail because he wanted him to come back. He was fearful then. He wanted to see his father and he wanted his little brother. As he began to question him, and what happened? His brothers began to cry and said, "Oh no, we can't leave our brother because our father, we've lost one brother, and our father cried and our father has wept and he's grieved." And so what did that do? Joseph could see the pain of what his brothers had gone through. He saw the pain. And so when Joseph saw their pain, he was able to forgive. The repressed memories. And so that was a process that Joseph began to walk through. And then you know the happy ending of that story. But Joseph had a choice there. He could have just totally destroyed those brothers. But the Lord worked through. Peter, that memory recall. Remember, I talked about that at the beginning. The memory recall with Peter. How had that memory recall of the things that Jesus said to him about denial. So a lot of times we get a memory recall and we don't really understand it, or time gap. And I have women who come and we work with, and as we begin to pray, the Lord will show them. I have people that come to me that have had dreams of being molested or incest victims, and they'll go to their aunt or uncle or mother or somebody, and a lot of times they verify it, and they have not remembered it. I know a woman that there in Anaheim, and she had not remember any of her childhood. She could not remember any school that she had gone to, well, even through college. She could not remember a school that she had gone to. She could remember everything else. She could not remember a teacher. She could not remember where the school was, what went on in school. She could not remember from about the third grade all the way through college. And she began to question the Lord, "Why can I remember those things?" And she began to talk to an aunt and found out that I believe she had had a dream also, that a teacher had molested several children. And had said that the teacher had molested her. And so what did that do? That triggered her mind to cut off where anything compared to school or situated with school would cut off. That way she wouldn't remember. And a lot of times we choose to do that, choose to forget so we don't have to deal with the circumstance. Well, what happened whenever the Lord brought that to her memory? She could go and she could handle it. She could forgive the man that had molested her that she didn't know subconsciously was there. See, we have some subconscious things that are hid. And so sometimes we need to deal with those things. Okay, it's 12 o'clock. Everybody ready for lunch? Okay, and so we will, maybe we'll have another opportunity to work some more on these. And have we helped you? Have we coming through? Sometimes I have so much that's boiling up that I get into fear that I will overload you or not explain everything that will help you. Okay, let's just stand to our feet let me pray and you want me to go ahead and dismiss? Okay. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that you're a gracious God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.